Welcome to the Pittsburgh Beautiful Podcast. I am excited to announce a spinoff of our podcast called The Sports Porch. Dave Moyo, myself, Mark Schwab, and Steve DeFlitch will get together on our porch once a week to talk about the latest news in Pittsburgh sports, the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, Pitt Panthers, national sports. The NFL right now is big, of course, and maybe talk a little fantasy in the fall. But you can look forward to that every week. This week on the Sports Porch, we're going to talk about the Steelers' disgusting loss in New England, the fact that the Seattle Seahawks are coming to town, Antonio Brown, of course, because he is the subject du jour and also now a swear word in my house, and some fantasy tips, some fantasy surprises, and other related guy stuff. So let's get started right now with the first episode of the Sports Porch on Pittsburgh Beautiful. Stay real.
You only got three losses to go for the 12-4
prediction. Well, but I'm on track. I'm on track because I predicted a loss
to
the Patriots.
You did, yes.
All right, well, here we are already discussing Moyo's predictions. And so far, he's at 100%. Welcome to the Pittsburgh Beautiful Podcast, this special bonus edition with Mark Schwab, who wants to be recognized as a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Steve DeFlitch, I'm not sure he wants to be recognized, but...
He will be anyway.
At one time in his life, he did. And, of course, Dave Moyo and yours truly, the founder. So let's start off. We're not going to overanalyze the game from last week. That's been done a trillion times. Let's talk about what we hope or expect this week when Seattle comes to town. Sounds like a song.
You know, when I think about Seattle coming to town, I'm a little nervous. I do not like our secondary. I haven't liked it. If we can't pressure the quarterback, we cannot have success defending the pass. It's just the way – that's where I am with this. Hayden, who's average, is our best player in our secondary, and he's average, and now he's hurt. With Watt questionable and maybe not playing or at 100%, I'm wondering what kind of pass rush we can generate. I'm wondering if Russell Wilson doesn't just get out of the pocket anyway and elude the pass rush with his mobility. And I'm a little worried about the Seahawks. They ran the ball very well last week. And now I'm just worried that they're going to pick us apart a little bit. And that might be the first prediction to go down the drain is this week. I'm not calling a loss, but I'm a little nervous about this game. I don't like it.
Do you think that one game against Brady is fair to grade the secondary on yet this year?
Yeah, I do. Because there's a whole body of work in the years leading up to the Brady disaster. You know, Brady's Brady, and he's going to do that to most people. But the Steelers are trying hard to transition to this more man coverage scheme. I'm sorry, who can cover anybody? If you're going to have man coverage, maybe you should be able to cover people. I have no confidence that secondary can cover man-to-man and do what the Steelers are trying to do with the defense, with the way the NFL is now. If you've got strong man coverage, you have a leg up. I think this is going to be the Steelers' weakness, and I think that the Patriots gave the league a blueprint for how to beat the Steelers in the deep middle of the field, and I'm worried about it.
Yeah, well, the thing that I disagree with that is the – wide receivers that Seattle have, Tyler Lockett is the best of the bunch.
True.
I mean, they got DJ Metcalf, but he looked ineffective against the Cincinnati Bungles. And I don't think they have quite near the talent that New England has. So although I agree with you, I think it can be a trap game for the Steelers, especially after still having the headache and the hangover of what happened in New England last week. Plus, you know, they did play Sunday night, so they have a little bit less rest. I think you're banking on the fact that Seattle's coming in from the West Coast.
Right.
So that's always a positive for the East Coast team. And I think if you look at the game just on the schedule, you're saying that's a win. The home crowd's going to be there. It's the home opener. Right. Everybody's usually lubricated really well for that game. And the crowd's going to be out of control. So I think that, you know, you're banking on a little bit of burst of energy that way too. And really, I mean, Seattle's not that good of a team. I mean, I didn't watch the whole game, but I had it on Red Zone. The Bengals could throw wherever they wanted, and that was Dalton. He's not very good compared to Ben, in my opinion. So I think that the Steelers can have their way with Seattle, and Seattle's secondary is equally as poor. So I think you're looking at a very high-scoring game, which could get scary for the Steelers, but I think they're used to that now. I think they're more used to that versus getting shut down. I think the offense was frustrated last week, and that's my opinion. I just think that I would be looking for a win for those reasons.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the receivers on the Steelers, Mark? Because I from what I hear, what Steve's saying is he's pretty much assuming that this game was a one-off, you know, the New England game. To me, our receivers looked horrible.
Is that because they are?
I don't know, but I want to see what the Eagles.
The number two, remember, the number two guy has been jettisoned by two teams who couldn't say goodbye fast enough.
Right.
Well, I mean, I think Juju Smith-Schuster is the real deal. I think he's a solid receiver. You know, is he a number one receiver on his own without Antonio Brown on the other side? Maybe not. But he's still an upper echelon receiver in my mind. But you're right. I think when you look at the rest of the team, it's a lot of question marks. You know, James Washington, has he really shown much yet? Not in the regular season anyway, right?
Well, he had that 40-yard catch and run out of bounds, but that was a very nice – I think they need to play him more. I mean, if you're asking me, they need to get rid of Switzer. They need to get Moncrief to get some gloves that can actually catch balls, and they need to play Washington more, and I think they'll be fine.
I think if they played Washington all the time, they'd win every game.
And
of course, I'm talking about the Redskins.
I mean, here's the thing. It's a very difficult game to call because you really, even though Seattle won a close game last week, they really played poorly as well. Yeah. So it's two teams that are looking to come out and show that what happened last week was just a one-off. And when you have that kind of scenario, usually you favor the home team a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I agree with you, Dave, in terms of the defense, and really, I'll just go back even further. I would say ever since they've lost Dick LeBeau, the defense has
totally
been on a downward
turn. Absolutely agree with that.
You know, yeah. And if you think about the Steelers, they're known for their linebackers,
right?
And you know, back when they were winning Super Bowls in the more recent years, you know, they had four linebackers that could start on any team,
right? Yeah,
and right now, you know, you got one that's hurt and. You know, then you got some other guys out there.
Yeah.
So,
Bud Dupree, who has, let's count them, zero moves. All Bud Dupree does is bull rush.
That's all he does. Right up
and
the field.
It's ineffective. Tom Brady has to run around for 8 seconds. He trips over his own foot. Dupree gets up and celebrates the sack. I wanted to throw my television when I see that. Like, just act like you've been there before, A. B, you suck. You've been neutralized all night. You've done nothing the whole game. The guy tripped over your pinky and you're celebrating. And the score's 30-3, by the way.
Yeah, but if we're going to go back to the New England game for just a second, you have to admit the worst part of that game was when the center just stood there everybody moved and the center just stood there for like 5 seconds. Now, it wasn't like, oh, I messed up, and then he got up. He stood there. I think he's still there.
And he's just looking around. But trust me, as an English teacher, it was so metaphorical of the whole night.
Oh, yeah.
I was able to use it in my class the next, you know, the following day to show them how, you know, real life things happen that we can take out of poetic devices. So I got a kick out
perhaps
of
this. This is rock bottom.
A real life example of how to look like an asshole.
Yeah, I think. Pretty much.
And the referees make fun of you. Oh, yeah. They make the call. Yeah. Everybody except the center.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, how do you get vilified when you're the only guy that didn't commit the penalty?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
He's the only guy that didn't have an infraction on the
and he was the one who made the penalty.
Yeah.
He knew
what
the snap
there.
Call.
Yeah.
He knew it.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry
so,
to go back.
Yeah,
I
we keep going
to
back
that.
To that. But I think that shows just this general disdain for the entire what they call rivalry, which really isn't a rivalry. And to start a season that way, I mean, it's almost as if you didn't even start the season yet. Mm-hmm. And so all those questions are completely unanswered.
You know, it feels a little better to me than last year when you start with a tie in Cleveland. And, you know, coming out of that game, you know, if I had to bet my life on the Steelers making the playoffs last year after the Cleveland game, I'd have said no freaking way does that team make the playoffs. This team, the Steelers historically kind of start slow. They're not the best team out of the gate. Ben is not good early in the season in that first game typically. So I think you have to understand who they were playing in the scenario. New England coming out, they're raising their sixth banner. We talked about that last week. Will that motivate the Steelers? Clearly not. The Patriots are at a different level right now. And to me, it comes down to the guys in the headsets. You can't outcoach Belichick. And people can say what they want about cheating, give me a break. Nobody designs a defense like him. He took Juju out of the game with one guy. One guy.
Yeah.
He took TJ Watt out of the game. He neutralized their best player on both sides of the ball and then just told the rest of the team, go get him. Just do what you do. Their offense was unpredictable and exploited. They went right the heck after Cameron Kelly and Terrell Edmonds. And what is up with Terrell Edmonds? And by the way, will Ryan Switzer gain 1 yard after a catch this year? Or is his thing to catch it and fall down?
Well, he doesn't want to get hurt.
My goodness gracious, what's he doing in the NFL?
He's a sure-handed fair catcher.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
That's what they need.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they need.
Well, the other thing the Steelers were lacking was a run game. Yeah. They never got into a rhythm with a run game. And anytime the Steelers aren't able to at least go and run the ball a few times in a series, they become predictable. When they become predictable, Ben puts on his cape and says, I'm going to go out there and sling it. And that always causes problems.
Yeah, that's a good
point. The only problem is he was only slinging it 3 yards at a time. You can't come back from a 20-0 lead when that happens like that.
And I think that's where you have to start questioning play calling and wondering, what are you doing on second and third down with these toss outs 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage, try to get James Conner wide, who hasn't gotten wide successfully since he was at Erie McDowell. And you're going to try to do that now. The Patriots just kind of laughed both plays off and snuffed them out. Where is this best line in the NFL? Line it up, plow ahead for 2 yards and live the fight another day. Their offensive philosophy was so bizarre.
Well, I think that's going to be a problem this week, too, because it's not as if they're coming back to a similar style quarterback.
Right.
They're coming back to face a guy in Russell Wilson who you never know if he's going to have a game where he looks like the greatest passer on earth or if he's going to rush for 110 yards and 3 scores, that classic 25-yard rush at the end of the game to keep the drive alive and they kick a field goal. So it's not like you can look at your strengths and weaknesses between these two games and shore them up. You're coming out of the gate with something completely different.
Well, I think we're going to find out a lot about Mike Tomlin as a coach this year, because we're really now, I think Ben is just about the only player remaining from the Coward days.
Him and Pouncey, maybe.
Maybe. So, really, the days of playing with, Cowers players are over.
Yeah.
And it's really completely up to him and his staff. Mm-hmm. To assemble a winning team.
Especially when he's stuck with Keith Butler as a defensive coordinator under the guise of having more control over the defensive calls. Well, Mr. Defensive Guru, it's time to do something. I mean, defense never has answers against teams that can take advantage of their weaknesses. Those teams just shred the Steelers, and that's getting tiresome. Mm-hmm.
Well, think about this, too. More often than not, this happens on the offensive side of the ball, but a lot of the head coaches are the play callers,
Yeah.
right? So why can't a head coach be a defensive play caller?
Which Belichick is a quasi play. I mean, he's the quasi defensive coordinator up there.
Sure.
He's
sure.
got two guys sharing the duties, and you know that man has the final call. You
right.
know he does.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, maybe we'll relive this topic again soon, but real quick, we got a few seconds here before our break. Prediction on the game?
I am going to go with the Seattle Seahawks 24-21.
Dave?
I'm calling 27-24 in overtime. The Steelers are going to pull it out.
Boswell. Steve?
I'm going for a Steelers victory. Final score, 31-17.
So it's going to be a runaway.
I'm going to take the under on all of you and say it's going to be 12-9 Seahawks.
Oh,
we'll be right back after the break. All right, we're back, and the elephant in the room obviously is the player that my wife will no longer let me talk about, but. Everybody, during the break, we were all kind of shooting the crap, and these guys want to talk about it. So I'll just say Antonio Brown, and you guys have fun.
All right. Well, Antonio Brown, first question that comes to mind. Were the Patriots and Antonio Brown in cahoots? The first thing I'm going to say about it is I find it pretty hard to believe that you can negotiate a contract within an hour. Of somebody's availability.
Clear cap space, right?
Right, you know.
The NFL has a hard salary cap. The Patriots made that go away, like, oh, yeah, we'll rearrange this, move money here, right. and sign this guy in 20 minutes.
It's $13 million, not a small amount.
Yeah.
Right. And, of course, very interesting that we find the backstory now that the Patriots were very interested in Antonio Brown. The Steelers did not want to trade him to a rival. My two cents on this is I think what happens is, you know, Antonio Brown gets out to Oakland and basically says, this isn't any good out here. I'm not going to be winning anything out here. And, you know, one thing leads to another. He hires a social media company to help him position himself the best way he can to get his release from the Raiders. Because let's face it, any social media expert who is trying to build your brand in a positive manner would not suggest the video that he released where he is using John Gruden's words, you know, in an insulting fashion to the organization.
Clearly.
So if you ask me, I really would like to see the league do a thorough investigation on this. And there should be some sort of penalty for the Patriots. Once again, I could see several draft picks, you know, going away because the bottom line is this is absolutely 100% tampering in the worst degree.
You sound so serious. I can't.
Well, it's the truth.
All of a sudden Schwab is like Inspector Gadget,
hey,
you know,
he is laser focused right now.
Yeah, he is.
On
I don't disagree though. I don't,
right.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
And we're trying to have a professional show.
I know.
If you'd like to join in.
There's nothing professional about what Antonio Brown did.
And
whether or not it was tampering or conspiring or any of that garbage, you know, we'll never really know. Does it look suspicious? Yeah, no doubt about it. If anything, I think it was more on Antonio Brown than on the Patriots. If anything, he knew he wasn't going to play there. He knew he was never going to put on a uniform, and he was trying his best to get out of it.
Yeah.
And then the Patriots jumped on it.
One other thing I want to point out, too, and I'll let you guys kind of speak your minds, is, you know, the video where Antonio Brown celebrates his release from the Raiders. Now, if he doesn't know at that moment that he's going to get $15 million from the New England Patriots and play with Tom Brady, why would you be that excited? You're telling me you're going to be jumping up and down. Hey, I just lost $30 million. This is
right,
great.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the man is a moral cesspool. there is a legitimate question to be asked. Does he belong in society, let alone the NFL? That's a legitimate question. Does he belong in circulation? Like, this man is a vile, vile thing. And why are we rewarding people for this kind of behavior? Sometimes things are just so lost on me. I'm the Patriots, and I'm watching my team throttle the next best team in the AFC, or a team that's legitimately supposed to be someone who, you know, could take us out, and we're just doing whatever we want. And I'm thinking, what do I want the Antonio Brown headache for? What do I want that for? What does he give me now that I didn't have before? What advantage do I have as a team? And in the final analysis, I don't know that it's much at all. One more weapon for Brady, whatever. But why add that headache, and why reward this vapid piece of garbage like they did? And it just speaks so loudly to so many issues that people have with professional sports, professional athletes. And the NFL, you know, has been dealing with declining interest in certain areas, declining viewership, declining attendance in some markets. And while it is still enormously profitable, you got to wonder when things like this will catch up with the National Football League, and this brand will be looked at as a hypocritical mouthpiece for nothing but just sheer stupidity and enabling these athletes that really are just a discredit to humankind, let alone the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying there in a lot of ways. Like, I think the declining, well, they didn't decline last year. They actually increased last year. I think some of the declining before that has to do with some of the moral issues you're talking about. But to answer your question about why New England's doing it, because they don't need him. If he becomes a cancer, they just cut him. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So New England, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
They just get rid of him. If he does, and this is it. I mean, the reality is, if they cut him, Dallas might pick him up. The NFL perpetuates it and allows it to happen. I think what will be interesting moving forward with AB are these new allegations. If there's some credibility there and there's some evidence, it'll be very interesting. I know New England's already came out positive about backing AB on that. I think that's could be something that would definitely, if there's some sort of evidence behind that, and the NFL said they are looking into it, they're putting an inquiry into that. I don't think they're going to put an inquiry in for the tampering, which I believe is also true, but I don't think they want to go there. They don't care if Drew Rosenhaus is friendly with Bill Belichick, and they already gave a wink and a nod and didn't record it anywhere that they've already had an agreement. And that if AB somehow got out of it, that they would be first in line. You know that happened, but they're too smart of an organization to have any evidence. However, AB is not smart enough not to have evidence for what may have happened here in Allegheny County.
If you read his text messages, if you can decipher them, and as an English teacher, I'm thinking of filing a lawsuit on behalf of the English language against that moron.
Yeah, but it's a tweet or it's a text. It's not real language.
Right? Still.
You know, when you read those and you begin to understand the depth of this man's illiteracy and just sheer stupidity, you've got to come to the conclusion he's not capable of making really rational decisions. And it's not like the NFL doesn't already have a long body of evidence against him, from throwing furniture, going 110 mm-hmm. on McKnight Road,
right?
Calling out general managers and coaches, walking out on a team, being inflammatory on social media repeatedly over and over and over again, posting video of his own team's coach giving a post-game speech. All of these are violations some way, and they have ample reason to say you've crossed the line too many times. This has to end somewhere.
So I think it has. We haven't heard anything from him this whole week. And that is downright shocking for me to say, because I actually think the guy has mental problems. But maybe he's just crazy like a fox. Maybe he was just doing that all for a show to end up where he wanted to end up, which is where he is now. I mean, it's very possible. I hate saying that out loud, because if it is, we've all been duped. And the man's a genius. But if he's not, he'll be back on social media next week or in a jail cell the week after.
You heard it here first. AB is a genius.
Dude, he might be.
No, I agree with your genius. First notion that he's mentally ill. I really do think he's mentally ill.
My gut reaction is usually the right one.
Yeah.
When
I
overthink it, that's when I get in the problem.
Yeah. The one thing I would say about the NFL, though, is I really don't have much confidence in them and their investigation process, their suspension process. Yeah. You know, it's so up and down.
Yeah.
You know, it's Ray Rice gets suspended 2 games. Then the video comes out and he's out of the league. You know,
yeah.
Tyreek Hill gets nothing.
Nothing.
He's on tape threatening his girlfriend or fiance or whoever it is.
Saying he beats his kids.
Right. Yeah, it says, you should be afraid of me.
Right. You should be.
And he gets nothing.
Nothing.
You know?
Right.
You know.
Good point.
I do love the soft and sentimental "We care about women" commercials that come out right in your face after, you know, during every game, with, you know, the good guys of the league wearing their pink and out there championing women's rights on behalf of the National Football. What a joke. What a total joke the NFL makes itself look like. But you know what? They're in the same boat Antonio Brown is in, which is, we can do whatever the hell we want, and we will be consumed voraciously by everyone. And Antonio Brown's in that same boat of, I can do whatever I want, and I'm going to get whatever contract I want with the defending Super Bowl champion. So you can all suck it.
Yeah,
right.
I feel like the NFL is just giving a big middle finger to everybody. Antonio Brown's giving a big middle finger to everybody. And everybody's sitting there like, well, the only thing that can be done is the thing that will never be done, which is people just turn it off and say, screw you, I'm not buying into it anymore. But then we wouldn't be sitting here having this discussion, would we?
No.
Are we done with AB now?
Yes.
Let's move on.
All right. So we've got obviously the game. Well, there's a game going on tonight right now that we're not going to talk about.
No interest.
It's on right now, and
who's playing?
I don't even know who's playing.
Carolina and Tampa.
We had a whole thing.
I heard last week somebody told me that the dark horse for NFL MVP. I'm not kidding. This guy said this to me at school. The dark horse for NFL MVP.
Don't say it.
Is Jameis Winston.
Wait, is this your surprise of the week?
No. This is my.
Good, because
should this
mine.
Person be teaching young minds of the week? Jameis Winston.
Does this person listen to the podcast?
Oh, let's hope.
Yeah, that would be great.
If he does, you know.
Okay, so we're going to start something on the podcast here, your surprise of the week. And Dave is worried that his and mine may be the same. I don't know why. So Dave gets to go first.
My surprise of the week was how explosive Baltimore's offense was. I was blown away, because all we've heard this preseason out of that camp is, wait till you see what we've done with professional offense. And we're going to do things nobody has seen, in a way nobody has seen, and it's going to blow the doors off of the rest of the league. Well, Miami's bad.
Oh,
Miami's really bad.
That's the one caveat, right?
But they're an NFL team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Baltimore smacked them with 59 points. And I was... And with Lamar Jackson at quarterback, and with a bunch of people nobody's ever heard of at receiver or kind of heard of. And they come out and they just obliterate that team. They could have probably scored 80 points. They took their foot off the gas at one point in the game. And as a Steelers fan and an AFC North watcher, I'm looking at that, you know, and thinking, damn, that could be a whole lot of trouble for a team that can't defend the pass.
Robert?
Well, my surprise of the week I just want to talk a little bit about the great Monday night game between the Saints and the Texans.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a fantastic game.
It was.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, two things happened at the end of the game that, you know, look, I'm just a guy on a couch on a porch. But, you know, I feel like after watching football for 40 years, I have a little bit of knowledge of the game. And there's two things that always come to mind when you're watching a football game and it's close in the closing moments. Number one, why do you leave a Drew Brees time on the clock?
Never leave, you know, Brees time.
So look, you know, if I'm the Texans, hey, the first 40-yard pass, great, you're in midfield. You know, I think at that point, you know, you try to negotiate your way down the field a little bit and try to score a touchdown at the very end. You don't throw a bomb on the next play and leave Drew Brees time.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Then, conversely, when Drew Brees has the time and he needs roughly 10 yards for a makeable field goal attempt, the Texans' cornerbacks and defensive backs were seemingly playing as if there was going to be a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
When everybody knew they were going to throw the ball 10 yards and lay down.
Yeah. Right.
And they just let them do it.
Right.
So
wasn't that a 58-yard field goal?
58-yard field goal.
In my book, that's not a makeable field goal. I mean, it's makeable.
Yeah.
But it's not an everyday field goal. It's not a chip shot.
Well, it's not a chip shot. But the point is that if they get 5 yards, you can forget it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Instead of the 10 yards. Yeah, right? Right. So, you know,
play to win the game.
Yeah. Just for me, I think there's with certain coaches, there's really a lack of intelligence at the end of the games. You know, in terms of, you know, knowing what you have to do to be able to win the game.
We have seen that quite a bit in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin's a bad game manager at the end of games.
Nobody's worse. End of halves and everything. He's not good with timeouts.
Not good at all.
Yeah, you know what's one that actually comes to mind? I'm sorry just to break in for a second. But, you know, it's a very famous play here in Pittsburgh that everybody loves because it was a wonderful play, and I think they won a playoff game on it. The play where Antonio Brown stretches the ball out.
Oh, right. Against
there is
Baltimore.
Absolutely no reason why that ball should not have been thrown in the end zone.
Yeah.
You know, really, it was a horrible play call.
Yeah.
Because chances are, if Antonio Brown isn't the greatest wide receiver on the planet at that time, you lose the game.
Yeah. That's a good call.
So, yeah.
Steve?
So, my surprise of the week, I actually have two that I'd like to hit real quick. One, I told you guys about this last week, the Buffalo Bills. They played that game awful. They were down. They were going to lose that game, and their defense kept them in it, and somehow they managed to score and get down there. I'm telling you, look out for the Buffalo Bills this year. They're going to be a sneaky team. Their defense is that good. It's going to keep them in games. The second, and I also mentioned this too, those Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals.
He's talking up his fantasy team again.
I am not.
That's all he wants to
I'm
do.
Telling
Kyler
you about
Murray.
Teams. Did I mention one name?
Huh?
No,
of
no. course
okay,
not. You mentioned your
okay,
whole fantasy
your
team
turn,
is what you did.
Mr. Owner.
As soon as you said the Arizona
Mr.
Cardinals.
Owner. Founder. Founder. Oh, founder. Oh, Mr. Founder. Founder. Sorry. You can talk
founder.
Over me because you
he should
it.
Have on a white wig and be carrying
I own
around
the
a
microphone.
Swirl, a parchment.
No, seriously. The
this
Arizona Cardinals.
Agenda.
I was watching that game on Red Zone because I don't watch all the games. You're crazy if you watch all the games. You're not watching things on Red Zone.
Or you don't have a life.
Yeah, you don't have who has a life on Sunday? Oh. Your life is football on okay. Sunday. Come on, let's do this. So the first half of the game, Arizona was terrible. They were the worst team. They were worse than the Miami Dolphins. They were absolutely awful. Granted, they were playing against the Detroit Lions, another terrible finishing team. You want to talk about teams that can't finish? The Detroit Lions cannot finish a game. But they came back, and I know there was a tie game, but man, I tell you, the fact that they can score as quickly as they can, if that offense gets clicking, look out for the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, and to that point, Larry Fitzgerald looked great in that football game.
He looked like a rookie.
He looked great in that football game.
He put the team on his shoulders.
Yeah.
He said, just throw me the ball. I'll get you a first down.
It was
down.
Impressive.
Yeah,
it was
very
impressive.
Mark, you look like you had something you wanted to say.
I was just thinking to myself, yeah, get ready for the next thing. You know, NFL trade deadline, Larry Fitzgerald to New England.
Yeah, right.
Or to Buffalo.
Or to Buffalo.
Yeah. Can you guys imagine the Buffalo-Arizona Super Bowl ratings?
Yeah.
I can imagine them.
I didn't say they're going to the Super Bowl. You guys suck.
I can imagine letting my son teach me to play Fortnite during that game.
Well, I can tell you they'll both be better than the Washington Redskins.
Which leads us to my surprise of the week was you have a bad team, a journeyman quarterback. You're playing against a division rival, and you decide to make your star running back, I mean, not as much of a star as before, but the Washington Redskins made Adrian Peterson inactive for that game. And me being an admitted, you know, I feel like I'm admitting that I've got a – well, I guess I do have a problem.
You do have a problem.
I know. I'm a Redskins fan. I'm sorry.
I'm a Redskins fan.
Wait, guys.
I can't even get it out. You're all over me.
Guys, which one is he going to reveal?
We know about the other one. I want to hear about the Redskins.
They've experienced those. But I cannot for the life of me figure out why you would make the only player on your team worth watching, let alone, you know – playing inactive. I don't, a surprise should be what you guys are talking about. You know, a good team, a bad team, this happened, that happened, whatever. But to me, that you've got a bad team, you've got a good player, a guy that's going to motivate them. Then they go up 17-0. Then the rookie running back, who's a rookie because he missed all of last year, goes down. And now you've got nothing left. And you know, the Eagles looked terrible in the first half.
Yeah.
Until D-Jax catches that bomb, ignites them, and you've got no way to slow them down. For me, that completely took away any legitimacy Gruden had as a coach. If he had any to begin with, you know, now it's that was the most boneheaded move I've seen in a long time.
My second surprise is how well Oakland threw the ball without, the great Antonio Brown on the field. How much does any team need him?
Nobody needs him.
In this day and age, there are so many receivers who can be productive. Mm-hmm. Who really needs him? Needs, and I mean needs him, to the point where they're willing to reward him and pay him an absurd amount of money.
That's insane.
Who needs that? New England needs to have their heads checked.
Yeah, I really didn't chime in during that. I feel the same way you do, Dave. And this is kind of where we'll wrap it up. And hopefully we never talk about. Well, we're going to talk about this guy again. You know we are, because he's not done. But I look at something Steve said, which was they did it because they don't need him. Right there is why they should never do it. If you don't need him, then why are you getting him?
Right.
You know,
and like spending that much money.
They're greedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's greedy enough to give this guy
merchandise sales.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah. Right.
One more weapon that the rest of the league doesn't have that we do.
Yeah.
You know,
they take the pressure off of Belichick.
Well, and then Antonio, you know, he had to know that this was coming down the pike. You know, the issues that he's going through right now, he knew they were coming. You got to wonder, New England says they weren't aware of it. I don't know. So, well, listen, thanks for being here, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll be back soon. Any last words real quick?
Go Steelers.
There you go.
That's good enough for me.
We made our predictions on the Steelers. I know I'm right. 12-9 Seattle.
12-9.
What did you say again? 24-21
Seahawks.
Right. OT win for the Steelers.
31-14.
All right, that's it. We're out.
And that wraps up the first episode of the Sports Porch on Pittsburgh Beautiful. As usual, thanks to Dave Moyo, Mark Schwab, and Steve DeFlitch for their incredible contributions. If you have anything to say about it or any opinions, you can always reach out via our Gmail at pittsburghbeautiful@gmail.com or even leave a message right here in the podcast if you're listening on Anchor. Thanks for listening to the Pittsburgh Beautiful podcast. Stay real. The Pittsburgh Beautiful podcast is produced by me, Chris Klein. The opinions of the guests on the Pittsburgh Beautiful podcast are their own opinions and not necessarily the opinions of Pittsburgh Beautiful. All of the guests on our podcast were invited to appear and are not paid for their appearance. Thanks for listening to the Pittsburgh Beautiful podcast. Stay real.